This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
A double homicide in Seattle's homeless encampment known as the Jungle. Three teenage brothers stand trial. Are they guilty of the crime or were they set up? Somebody Somewhere, the popular true crime podcast, follows the twists and turns of a case that left Seattle reeling. The critically acclaimed podcast is created and hosted by former prosecutor David Payne and former CNN producer Jody Gottlieb. They're our guests on today's This Week in America. And also on the program, best-selling young adult novelist Angie Sage, author of the internationally best-selling Septimus Heap book series. She's back with an all-new fantasy novel for young readers, Maximilian Fly. Somebody Somewhere, the true crime podcast, next on This Week in America.
Everybody wants cheap airfare. But where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. In 2016, three homeless teenage brothers were accused of storming the Seattle homeless encampment known as the Jungle and opening fire. Called the Jungle Murders, they left Seattle reeling and sparked interest from the national media. A double homicide, three teenage brothers stand trial. Are they guilty of the crime or were they set up? The critically acclaimed podcast Somebody Somewhere follows all of the twists and turns of this still unresolved case, created by former prosecutor David Payne and former CNN producer Jody Gottlieb. Somebody Somewhere is the first independently produced podcast series to join WarnerMedia's portfolio of leading audio content. David is an award-winning digital leader and innovator, previously head of CNN and Gannett's digital operations. He's overseen the successful launch of hundreds of digital products with tens of millions of viewers and users, including CNN.com and USAtoday.com. Jody, an internationally recognized and award-winning producer and director for CNN, Turner & Vulcan Productions, overseeing the launch of CNN Special Investigative Unit, along with other CNN special projects. David Payne, Jody Gottlieb, host, creators, and the popular true crime podcast Somebody Somewhere, an editor's choice on Spotify, is with us on This Week in America. David, Jody, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Wow, that was such
a
great
interview. Thanks for having us.
Well, I think we feel old.
And what a job you've done with this podcast in season two. Let's go back and sort of set this up. January 26th, 2016, at this homeless encampment in Seattle. What exactly happened that night? And then we'll talk about how it all unfolded.
Yeah, it was an interesting night in Seattle because there was a lot going on simultaneously. The crime itself was a pretty simple and straightforward crime, and as crimes go, There were 6 to 8 gunmen who rode up into an area called the Jungle, which is a foresty area that's underneath our main freeway going into the city. They rode up on bicycles into this area, and they shot up an encampment. They shot 5 people, murdered 2 people. And at the same time that that happened, the mayor of Seattle was giving a major speech on homelessness here, which is, you know, this city is really, was then too, and remains in a state of crisis with our homeless population. And so the confluence of those two things happening spurred all sorts of unintended consequences as the city began to struggle with how are we going to deal with this problem. And so the podcast is really about exploring what led up to those murders, how these brothers, these 3 teenagers, got charged in the murder, their trial in which the jury hung, and some of the ramifications of how the city has managed the homeless here as a result of those murders. So it's a wide tapestry. It's a little more S-Town than Serial, but it has that kind of backdrop of a murder investigation on top of it.
Boy, there is so much that you're looking into. Jody, let's talk about the 3 homeless teenage brothers. I understand they lived in a tent with their mother close to Safeco Field. Talk about that. And it seemed from the beginning, from what I recall, within what, about a week they were arrested, it almost seemed like an open and shut case. The police had their people, and that was going to be the end of this.
Yeah, these kids were in and out of the system, so they were at times wards of the state, but really had ventured back into these homeless encampment where they were living in tents, in cars, in temporary hotels. And, you know, these 3 kids have stood trial. The 2 older brothers, David and I, follow their particular trial as we delve into the story. And it deals with a lot of social issues around homelessness and drug addiction. And the reality is that the police have built their case and this narrative based on some of the evidence, but we explore that maybe there were other perpetrators involved in this case. And as David and I set out through this 9-part series, we meet some of those folks, as well as some of the other community that's living in and around this area known as the Jungle.
We're talking about the award-winning series Somebody Somewhere podcast, true crime podcast. You can download it now at Warner Media Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts. A new episode comes out every Tuesday. You can get caught up, actually, in season 1. We'll talk about that, hopefully, if time allows, at the end, and get caught up on season 2 and where we are. David, you mentioned something that's interesting, the political consequences. A headline in Vice News after this happened was "Murder in the Jungle, the Brutal Killings That Woke Seattle Up to Its Homeless Crisis." And it sounds like that's exactly what it did. It was a bucket of cold water on this problem, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was really kind of a Reichstag fire for the city. And the response that the city had was quite natural, which was, okay, we've got to shut this area down. And we've got to bring in a fence, and we've got to move these people out. And, you know, which all sounds good on its face until you realize that all you're really doing is pushing people up into the city.
Yes.
This area is just south of the city. It's a vast forested area with lots of nooks and crannies for people to set up tents and large encampments and so forth. And so the city shut down major portions of that, and you know, these people weren't going away, so they just came up into the streets, and they're living under business doorsteps and awnings, and it pushed the problem north. And the other unintended consequences that it had was that there are various gangs that live down in here. There's a huge criminal element that is down there mixed in with people that are suffering from drug addiction and other problems that have put them in the jungle. And it has pushed all these people together in closer environments than they probably should be.
Jody, both you and David sat in on the trial, which ended up a mistrial. First of all, what were the three teenagers, were they charged as adults? What were they charged with? And did you see a mistrial coming as you and David sat there and witnessed before your eyes the trial in progress?
You know, I think that during the course of the trial, it unfolded, and you hear us debate what's happening. You know, I think the fact of the matter is that the jury was out for a significant amount of time, so we got the feeling that it was headed in the right direction. I think one of the things that we really sort of talk about is the fact that maybe there were other people involved, and so as the prosecutors and defense are weaving their way through this case, it really became clear that maybe there were other folks that were involved. And so I think there were some holes in the case that weren't connected in a way that would have made this an open and shut case, if you will. And so, you know, the prosecutors haven't been able to convict the two older brothers. The younger brother is in a juvenile detention center, and he was handled separately. But the two older brothers, we follow this case and the trial and sort of realized during our investigation that the police don't necessarily explore some of the testimony from the eyewitness accounts and the people who were there. So it really, there are a lot of holes that raise question, and clearly the jury felt that they couldn't convict on the charges.
Yes. Now, will there be a retrial?
There will.
Yes, there's another retrial scheduled in November. The state has already indicated they will go forward. Of course, it'll be interesting once this podcast gets fully released to see if that changes any of the dynamics here, because we delve deep into the evidence. You know, I'm a former prosecutor myself, and so I'm always reluctant to criticize work that is done by the police or prosecutors. In this case, there were some gaps in the police work. There were some failures to follow up on leads and identifications, particularly by one of the victims who identified her shooter, some of the other than the boys that are on trial. And I do think that there's some resolution of this case that is appropriate. But they're planning on going back to trial in November.
When you started the investigation, I've read that there were twists and turns along the way. Some of that's come out in the series so far in season two. Were you shocked at some of the areas that suddenly became into focus for you?
Yeah, this is this story, because it really is a story. The podcast kind of takes the listener on a journey, and it's our journey trying to uncover what is true and what is not true, and assess the credibility of people who were involved. And we end up connecting a lot of other cases, a lot of other incidents, a lot of sideline stories that help you assess whether this person's telling the truth or that person's telling the truth. So it's quite a journey, and we never could have predicted when we started it that it would be this complicated a case.
Jody, talk about the flexibility, the freedom, the benefits of doing a podcast. I assume that the freedom from a journalistic standpoint has to be just exactly what you're looking for, because you're pretty much free to follow whatever you want. Talk about the benefits of doing this in podcast form.
Yeah, I love this question. And you know, I'm a filmmaker and a TV producer, and so I've spent most of my career focused on the visual narrative storytelling process. But this, for me, has been the most incredibly liberating type of storytelling, where you're really trying, you know, David and I are trying to get the viewer, the listener, into the narrative of what is happening, and which is so different than a TV show or film. So what you hear is really our process. as we take you around along on this journey. And it's been incredibly liberating and freeing not to have a camera there. People tend to open up more and share more of their soul when you just have a recorder in hand and you're trying to get emotionally connected and tell their story in a way that they've possibly never told before. And it's emotional and heart-wrenching, and all the human elements of it are revealed through the story we're telling. And it's been a really incredible, for a cynical television producer, it's been a really creatively liberating process.
David, I got about 2 minutes left, but I want to talk about the benefit of partnering with someone like Warner Media, somebody that seems to embrace investigative journalism and sort of sets you apart from the pack in podcasts. I was looking there right now, over 750,000 podcasts. That's over 30 million wow. episodes out there. But you've got one of the top companies that's on your side. What's the benefit of working with a partner like Warner?
Well, they've already shown it. They've been a great partner. And for Jody and I, it was such a perfect match for us because we worked together way back in the day at CNN, which is the, now underneath Warner Media. So we've had the opportunity to work with some old friends back there. So it was a great fit for us personally. But the benefit is obvious. And you can just compare season one to season two. Season one, where we didn't have Warner Media, season two, where we do. They have an amazing promotional engine behind them. As you say, it's very hard to find podcasts. And so partnering with Warner Media, they help us get the word out there. They help us with things like this radio interview that we're doing today. They help us connect with television shows. They help us connect with the audience, social media. They're really kind of a full suite promotional, and they're helping us with ad sales. So for an independent, small company like ours, it's been a huge benefit.
Talking about the popular true crime podcast, Somebody Somewhere, now in its second season, available for download at Warner Media Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. With us on the program has been the host and the producers, former prosecutor David Payne, former CNN producer Jody Gottlieb. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be listening every Tuesday a new episode drops. And again, you'll find all of that wherever you find your podcast. And we'll have information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. David, Jody, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks welcome. For having us.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with the best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you our free tax savings report. Attention, business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. New for mega best-selling author Angie Sage, the gripping and darkly humorous tale for young readers, Maximilian Fly, a human with cockroach features whose quiet life is upended when he aids two human children in their escape from an oppressive governing power. A masterful story brimming with suspense, plot twist, and, of course, her amazing world-building. Angie achieved global success with her hugely popular Septimus Heap series. The 7-book fantasy series about a young boy with extraordinary magical powers topped the best-selling charts and has been translated into over 30 languages. Also the author of the popular Todd Hunter Moon series. Angie was born in London, loved to get lost in a book as a child. Her father was a publisher and encouraged her writing and illustrating. Lives in the West Country, which she says has a mysterious atmosphere that creeps into everything she writes. Angie Sage, author of Maximilian Fly, now available wherever books are sold, and our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Angie. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to the release of this book, which is, as I say, now available. Talk about Maximilian Fly. I love this character that you've created. Tell us a little bit about Maximilian.
Well, I love Maximilian, too, and he's one of these characters that just arrived in my mind one day. And what I love, actually, is that the cover of the book captured exactly the image I had of him standing on a rooftop, a little bit lost, looking down and watching what was going on. And, well, really, he is human, but he doesn't quite look it. There's a lot of cockroach about Maximilian. And in his world, in the bubble that he and the whole city is trapped in, he's not the only person that looks like that. And these humans who look in that way are treated differently. But we get to know Maximilian, and we get to just see what his life's been like up until now. And then suddenly, when he opens the door to two human-looking children who look like you and me, who they call wingless, then his life just goes on a roller coaster of change. And it was really interesting to write.
And will be interesting to read. Everybody is waiting for this, the long-anticipated Maximilian Fly from our guest on the program, Angie Sage. As always, you talk about some very important topics that you weave into the story. What are some of the themes that you address in Maximilian Fly?
Well, it's a lot of it is about not judging people on how they look, and that extends to all kinds of the ways that, you know, we look.
Yes.
But judging them on their actions and who they are as well. And not splitting people up into different groups and labeling them, and which I think there's quite a lot of that going on at the moment. It's just about our shared humanity, you know, that we are all human. And I wanted to get that across, that that's what is really important. And also, as ever, I discover whenever I write a book, it's about family. And I always find myself drawn back to that. And Maximilian, he thinks he's alone. And he is alone at the beginning. He's horribly alone. But as we go through the book, he begins to realize that he's not. And I won't give anything away, but that when I was writing it, I was just delighted to find that, you know, Maximilian wasn't going to end up alone. So, I mean, I think those are my two main themes, is not judging people, not compartmentalizing
right.
people, and also that, you know, family is what's important, and it doesn't have to be blood relatives either.
You know, it's interesting
people who we love.
The way your books touch people, on your website, you have a note there from a young lady who said she started reading your books when she was in the fourth or fifth grade. She said when she was going through rough times and unable to accept herself, she connected with Marcia, one of your main characters, and said, I loved her character from the beginning and it made it easier to accept who I am. So more than entertaining, you really changed this young girl's life. Talk about the power of books and how you feel when you read a message like that, that she was not only entertained, this really was life-changing for her.
Yes, I mean, I really sort of tear up when I get messages like that. And she's one of my most powerful messages, but I have had quite a lot like that. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm amazed and really thrilled that the characters work in that at that level, that they are real. I mean, they're real to me.
Yes.
And that they can produce that sort of powerfulness. And I think it's the thing about building a world, and I've noticed that readers who have had really tough times, they want somewhere to escape to that they can feel safe and you know, do exciting things as well, but they want that feeling of belonging somewhere else. And I think Septimus did that, and I'm hoping Max does that. I'm pretty sure it will, because again, it's somewhere you can just be and be part of. But to get messages like that is really, I was going to say it makes everything worthwhile. I mean, everything, you know,
yes.
It really is quite something.
You know, a couple minutes left here. It's interesting. You've talked about characters, and you really need to get to know the characters like friends, and that will guide you on your way in writing the story, in writing a successful story. Talk about the importance of liking your characters. Is that what makes these books so vibrant? Basically, from beginning to end, you don't lose interest halfway through. You follow them all the way through. Is a key to that likability for the characters in the minds of the author?
Yes, I think it is. In fact, I'm sure it is, because then you really, really care about what happens. To even if, you know, a lot of characters that I write are quite flawed, and I do like in the end to redeem them as much as I can.
Yes.
There's sometimes one or two that just won't let you do that. But I think it is the fact that people can really relate to a character, and what I like is that readers often relate to a big wide variety of characters, not just the main few, you know, quite a few minor characters as well. So for me, I write about people, whether they're cockroaches or half cat, half human or whatever. And it's just that feeling that you're with people that you care about. And so you care what happens to them all the way through.
You know, Angie, I got about 30 seconds left here. Do you start with an extensive outline, or do you, as these characters evolve in your mind, do you sort of follow where they're taking you?
I start with a very vague outline indeed, and the characters run the show.
Fascinating.
And they do, and I have to listen to them, and they don't always listen to me. They do what they want, and I think, you know, that's what makes it feel real.
Angie Sage, our guest on the program, the fantasy adventure book for young readers, Maximilian Fly, now available wherever books are sold. Angie, thank you so much for spending some time with us on the program. Thank you.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.